Thank you, Father. We give you praise and we give you glory for making it possible for us to be here. Holy Father, we ask that none will live the same as he or she came. May we live here touched, blessed, and with an experience of your spirit in our lives. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's turn our Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 1. What does the Bible say? Shall we read it together? Ecclesiastes 11, 1. Thou shalt find it after how many days? After 2 days? After 3 days? But 3 days could be many. It's not many enough. What about 4 weeks? 4 weeks also many. It's normal. What about 5 years? That's many days. Hey, it says that cast thy bread upon the waters and you will find it. This is a mystery, isn't it? Because when bread touches water, what does it happen? It soaks the water, it dissolves, you cannot find it, really. And yet, the Bible says, not even said that, cast the bread on the water and just catch it. At least that one, even if it's dissolving, you can salvage something out of it. But I say that after many days, where I am sure if bread goes into water, let's say sea, what will happen? What will happen? Sorry? The fishes will even eat it. They like bread. So they will eat the bread. So it means that cast the thing on the water and leave it. Let the fish eat it, whatever. And then after many days, you will find it. So is it the same bread you will find? Is it the same bread you think you will find? I really wonder. You will find something. But I wonder what is the same bread. But something that is like bread. Or something that is also bread. Or even the same bread you cast there. But after many days, that is why I also want to read to you Galatians 6, 9. Galatians 6, 9. What does it say? Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Shall we all read it together? Ready, go. And let us not be weary in well-doing. One of the well-doings is that what? Cast your bread upon waters. And so let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season. That means after many days. After many days in due season, you reap if you faint not. What do you think the Bible added if you faint not? What do you think it added if you faint not? Faint not means that you stop doing it. You become tired. Hallelujah. You see, never let not be weary in doing good. You get it? So there are so many things that are good things. You see, there are so many things that are good things. And the Bible says that you can easily stop doing them. You can easily stop doing good things. But Bible says that don't be weary. What are some of the things that are good that you shouldn't stop doing? Giving offering. Giving offering is good. Hallelujah. So don't be weary. What else? Bringing your tithe. Bringing your tithe is a good thing. What else? Coming to church. How many of you know that coming to church is a good thing? Let us not be weary in coming to church. For in due season, you will reap if you faint not. Hallelujah. Do you know you can be tired of coming to church? Because you tell yourself, I've been coming to church and coming to church and coming to church. What have I gotten out of it? Do you get it? What have I gotten out of coming to church? So you can easily stop coming to church. But it's one of the things that Bible said, don't stop doing. For in due season, hallelujah, what other good things are there that you shouldn't stop doing? Praying. Praying. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Is that not so? So praying is a good thing. How many of you have sometimes felt like, I don't even want to pray again? Because you see. But today God is telling you, don't give up. Don't give up. In due season. And when is the due season? The due season is that season. Hallelujah. So, prayer is a good thing. Amen. How many of you have gotten some good things that you were doing that you feel like stopping to do? They are what? So winning is a good thing. Hallelujah. So winning is a good thing. But so that you go, the person doesn't want to come. If you get someone like me before I got born again, when the people come, I'll go and hide. And I say, you should tell them I'm not there. Because the brother says he's come to take me to church. Meanwhile, I gave him all the assurances that I will go. I will go. Come at this time. So he will come. But as soon as I see him coming, I will not even be at home for him not to ask where I am. But if I'm there, they will tell them I'm not in. Amen. May we not reap what we sowed. Amen. You know, there are some harvests. You have to pray to God for failed harvest. That this one, I shouldn't. Mercy shouldn't let me reap. Amen. Good. So there are so many good things that if you don't take it, you stop. So that wives stop cooking for their husbands. Wives stop cooking for their husbands. They are weary. They are tired. I have been cooking and cooking for him. I'm not seeing any change. When I went for counseling, they said me that I should do my duty. When I continue to do my duty, maybe I may touch his heart. Or you change. I've been doing it and still he hasn't changed. So me too, I will stop cooking. Hey! He says, don't be weary. Don't be weary listening to good advice. Some of you no longer want to take your marriage for advice again. Because we have gone, nothing is changing. Bible says, in due season. Hey, how many of you have gotten some due seasons before? When you thought something would not happen, then suddenly it happened to you. How many have experienced it before? If you have not experienced due seasons, may you experience some powerful due seasons. So that you understand what we are saying. Just when you thought you were giving up, but you didn't stop doing the good thing. And then, bam! A certain blessing come your way. It's a very powerful thing. Hallelujah. Amen. So we thank the Lord. So, the first verse is that, cast your bread. And after many days, is it not mysterious? That is why today I want to talk about something that is very, very, very mysterious. Hallelujah. Something that is very, very mysterious. And it is mysterious because of the way it is. Hallelujah. Mysterious because of the way it is. So I want to talk about the mysterious purposes of tithing. Mysterious purposes of the tithe. Because it is God who established the tithe. Amen. God is the one who established tithing. God established the tithing. And there is a purpose. So, we want to know about the mysterious purpose of tithing and why God established the tithing. Hallelujah. And you get to know that tithing mysteriously achieves numerous purposes of God. Mysteriously, it achieves numerous, a lot of things that God wants to do. Mysteriously achieves numerous purposes. So God established it for a reason. Do you get it? And it mysteriously achieves numerous purposes of God. And any time you pay your tithe in church, you contribute towards one of these mysterious purposes. Anytime you pay your tithe in church, you are contributing towards those numerous mysterious purposes of God. Hallelujah. I mean, why should you tell me that when I put bread on water, I shouldn't take it the same, but I'll find it after the chicken I've eaten, after the fish I've eaten it, and it has soaked in water, it's scattered, and he said I should now come for it. It's mysterious. The same way tithe is mysterious. And that any time you pay your tithe, you are involved in one of these mysterious purposes of God. Hallelujah. It is a mystery. It is a mystery. Hallelujah. When you contribute towards each of these purposes, God unlocks different types of blessings. You see, you are contributing toward these mysterious purposes of God. And then he unlocks powerful blessings in your life. Hallelujah. And I want to recommend this book to you. Why non-tithing Christians become poor and tithing Christians become rich. Hallelujah. How many of you have been tithing for all these years? You are destined for riches in the name of Jesus. So whenever you contribute your tithe to this mysterious purpose of God, you unlock a certain kind of blessing. And you may not have intended directly to accomplish any of these things. Do you get it? Your intention for probably giving your tithe may not be intended to directly accomplish whatever it is. But so far as you have paid your tithe and have contributed toward one of these mysterious things, God will have no option than to bless you. Oh, you didn't say amen. Amen. God will have no option than to bless you. As you were doing it, you didn't know that you were contributing towards a mysterious thing. You see, and many things that are mysterious, it is only God and Spirit who understands. Hallelujah. For instance, Bible says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto man, but unto God. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. You see, when I stand, it is mysterious. But I'm contributing towards something. My prayer is doing something. Hallelujah. So we want to see the reasons why God established this tithing. For us to be involved in this mysterious purpose of God. Hallelujah. You want to see the reason why God established this tithing? For us to experience. One, God established the tithe for people to show gratitude to God. For people to show gratitude to God. You see, it is a mystery. But God established it. And that he established it to show gratitude. To show gratitude to God. Now, why am I saying this? Let's read Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 1 to 3. Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 1 to 3. This is one of the most important messages you hear. And it shall be, When thou art come in unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and possesseth it, and dwelleth therein, that thou shalt take of the first of all the fruit of the earth, which thou shalt bring of thy land, that the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shall put it in a basket, and shall go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name there. Do you get it? So you go to a place, a particular place, where God has chosen. So you cannot just pay your tithe anyhow. Just as you cannot spread your seed anyhow. Which seed thou knowest? Amen. So you cannot spread your tithe anyhow. Amen. There is always a place that God chooses for you in particular to send your tithe there. Are you here with me? And then thou shalt go unto the priest that shall be in those days and say unto him, I profess this day unto the Lord thy God that I am come unto the country which the Lord swore unto our fathers to give us. Amen. What I'm saying is that the tithe, when you pay tithe, is a form, a way that God has given to you to show your gratitude to him. To show that you are grateful. You see, and he has said that when you go to the land, when you go to the land God has given to you, and many of you, you have gotten to the land that God has given to you. What is the land? You have gotten a job. You have gotten a job. Some of you have traveled to where you want to be. You are doing your business. It's a blessing. Hallelujah. You have gotten your education. You have passed your exam. Gotten your certificate. It's a blessing. God has taken you from somewhere to somewhere. Hallelujah. And you need to be grateful. Don't think that, I'm waiting for God to take me to the next step. But whatever step that God takes you, it's a step forward. It's a step forward. So it's a way of telling God that I am grateful. I am grateful for the land you have given me. Hallelujah. I'm grateful for the land that you have given me. But what happens? Often we think that it is by our own strength. It is by our own strength that we got to the land. So it's a way. Tithe is a way of showing gratitude to God. That Lord, I thank you. Amen. Another reason to achieve this mysterious purpose is that God established the tithe for people to remember where God lifted them from. Hey! For people to do what? Remember where God lifted them from. You know, people easily forget. People easily forget. And God doesn't like people who forget. God, he doesn't like people who forget at all. That is why he didn't want anything to happen to the people. So he made sure that for them not to forget, he established a mysterious something that when they do that, it contributes to that mysterious purpose, it will also help them not to forget. Do you get it? It will help them not to forget. You may think you are whoever, but often something will remind you that you are this or that. You remind yourself. Do you get it? Now, let's read again Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 4 to 6. It says that, and the priest shall take the basket out of thine hand. And the priest, when you take the tithe, do you get it? The priest will take the basket out of your hand and set it down before the altar of thy God. In the olden times, when they took the tithe, they didn't take the tithe to build the church. Do you know that? They didn't take the tithe for church project to go on. They didn't take the tithe to finance other things. They took the tithe to the priest. It's for the priest. It is not what happens now. Do you get it? Even now, what happens is not for the priest, why you are complaining. But in the olden times, the tithe was not for building project. If they were doing building project, you saw Moses, you saw them, they told the people to bring their contributions for the building project. That was another offering they took. But the tithe, they gave to the priest. When they go, the priest would take it out of their hand. Amen. Look at what we are using the tithe for these days. You yourself, you can even see what your tithe is being used for compared to what you gave. You don't know. I always ask, do angels come to put money in the offering basket? Do angels do that? Because if you look at the way people respond to tithing and the amount of money you spend on projects, you get it. Then you wonder where you get it from. You wonder where you get it from. And you see that this one is like casting your bread upon many waters and finding it. You are finding it from other way. You don't know how it's happening, but it's happening. You don't know how it's happening, but it's happening. May your project also go like that. You don't know how you are building, but we are building. Money is coming. Amen. So the tithe in the olden days that the people were paying with order, it belonged to the pastor. It's for the priest. But how can I come and stand here today and tell that your tithe is for me? Hey. And thou shalt speak and say before the Lord thy God, a Syrian ready to perish was my father. A Syrian ready to perish was my father. And he went down into Egypt and sojourned there with a few and became there a nation, great, mighty, and populous. And the Egyptians evil entreated us and afflicted us and laid upon us hard bondage. You see, in other words, anytime you are taking your tithe, it is a way of you remembering where God has taken you from. Hallelujah. To remember. That's why there's a song that say that Kabebia na wo wo. Aha, that song. I want to hear the waiting. Odofo nyame humobo na ube unuse honiredi nduye. He said, remember, a Syrian ready to perish was my father. A Syrian ready to perish. Remember. And then you took us from bondage. You took us from bondage. And now we have come. People, if the Egyptians evil entreated us and afflicted us and laid upon us hard bondage. How do you know that if God had not done that, the people could easily have forgotten? Even they forgot. In spite of all that they were told, they even forgot to extend that. All those who are 40 years and above who experienced that thing never saw the promised land save Joshua and Caleb. They didn't. Why? Because they forgot. And how people forget. You see, those who forget. Where is that book? Those who forget. How people forget. Do you get it? How people forget. And many people forget. Forgetfulness is a sign of ungratefulness. That is why I say God is not unrighteous to forget. You see, God is not unrighteous to do what? So it is unrighteous. It's a sin to forget. Sometimes church members do forget. Many times. Church members do forget. Especially when something happens and they leave the church. Their so-called anger comes. When their so-called anger comes and they say things. But if you remember that you were a Syrian, ready to perish, no matter how angry you become, you remember that one day. If this same person who is making you angry had not done this for you, you would not even have been there to be angered. But you don't remember. Wives don't remember. Wives don't remember that nobody was proposing to them. Nobody was proposing to them. They have forgotten when you proposed to them, how happy they were. They have forgotten how happy they were. They couldn't sleep. Hey, if you don't send them test one day, they will pester your life. Why didn't you send me test? Why did you send test? But today, they have received a donation. All that they wanted was a donation of a sperm to get a baby. They have, after they received the donation of the baby, they have so soon forgotten. But even if you not remember, look at others who are 50 years and they are not married. Look at others who are 45 and they are not married. It could have been you. It could have been you. Because you cannot go to the man and propose to the man. No matter how beautiful you think you are. And somebody wrote a book, The Beautiful Ones Are Not Yet Born. No matter how beautiful you are. Can you imagine that she came to propose to me? Can you imagine that, please, I want to say that I love you and marry me. It'd not be possible. Do you get it? I proposed. And she knows what she did to get me to propose. Hey! But she has not forgotten. She knows what she did for me to propose. Because she knew that I could easily propose to another person. Yes. I could easily propose to another person. So, why don't you remember, wife? Why are you now forgetting because you are sleeping on the same bed and all these things? Now you also have gone to school, you are working, maybe you even earn more money than the man. So why don't you remember? Go and ask those who have a lot of money and don't have the man. Go and ask them. Go and ask them. What about the men? Me too, if I don't. They also remember. They also remember. Look, they won't remember anything. They won't remember anything. Listen, if you like, die today, the man will have another person to marry. Even before you are buried, even before they bury you, three people will come and say, please, I will cook for you. I'll do everything for you, please. But let your husband die and see how many people come and say they want to marry you. You remain a widow till you die. You see, don't let this type of things go into your head. Do you get it? You have to be grateful and thank God for your husband. Oh, ladies, put your hands together for Jesus. But so you remember where you were. A Syrian was I. A Syrian was I. I didn't have anything. and God has now blessed you. So you are just in a way remembering that you would have been a drunkard. You would have been a drunkard. You would have been a mother of three children without a husband. And each of them has his or her own father. Yes. In Tiamwa, Odonko, and Efrifa. Different surnames. So remember, that's the same way God is. God said that he brought a tithe. So anytime, you see, so anytime you are doing, it's like serving your husband. Anytime you are serving, remember that I am the wife. I am the wife. That's why, see, there are some things that women do. I'm sure, mysteriously, God did it so that you remind yourself that I am the wife. Hallelujah. So, he said that God wants you to remember. So, tell the priest. So, when you bring your tithe, say, Lord, I'm just bringing this because I remember I didn't have a job. I remember many people went for that interview. I remember, but I have the job. I am this. I am that. I remember. So I am bringing my tithe, my first and best to you. If you find it difficult to pay your tithe, it only means that you don't remember. Amen. Just as if you find it difficult to cook for your husband, it only means that you don't remember. And if he doesn't give the money, how can I cook for him? Hey, look, you haven't heard the Bible said, two women go and take a man and say, you just come and put your name on us. Just change our name and put your name on us. You haven't heard it? Seven women will come to one man. Just be my husband and put your name on us. And it's happening, in case you don't know. In case you don't know, it's happening. Hey, so be grateful. Amen. So for you to remember. Many church members, they don't remember. Sometimes you church, somebody come to church, he's a nobody. He's a nobody. And then either you give the person a microphone to sing, you tell the person to stand at the back to be an usher, then they start calling you chief usher. They start calling you great drama. They start calling you what? Soloist. Prayer warrior. Not on start to it. You say, yeah. I'm going to tell pastor that the way things are going on in this church these days, God has shown me that there must be a lot of prayer in the church. We have not been praying in the church. I saw 7 stars falling on the chairs, and then I had a dream. When I had a dream, all the peoples were here, and the women's were here, and the man's were here. All the peoples were coming. They said, yeah, so we have to pray. Pastor, you have to declare fast. Prayer warrior. Sir, you were a Syrian, ready to perish. And then God brought you to the church. And God said, take a microphone and sing. Today you have come top. Your hand has become like aeroplane wings, KLM wings. It cannot come down. Your face like something. You're a KLM. You are walking like that. Meanwhile, if you have not been given the chance to stand there as a chief usher, you have not been given the, if bishop are not giving me the chance to preach, even to send me to Tema, how can I one day stand and I say I'm angry with bishop? Won't I be a fool? Even I didn't even want to come. And then today, people who serve me water are architects, lawyers, big men, bankers. They are the ones who serve me water to drink. And then because of that, please, bishop want to see you. Hey, look, I'm busy. Hey! Bishop, the way bishop
talked and he preached, he used me for example. I don't like it. What, who is bishop? We are, you see, when we are all adults. We are adults. We are adults. We are pastors. We are all this. We are growing. When we're young, you see, you have forgotten that you were a Syrian ready to perish. Humble yourself. Humble yourself. Humble yourself and stop this, your pride. You have, if your father has spoken to you and you don't like it, then so what? Is it not your father who should talk to you? Who else should talk to you? Who else should talk to you? If you play the fool and your father rebukes you, who should rebuke you? No one wants to say, kill him. No. It's, you don't remember. You don't remember. You're a child who doesn't remember. And you see, all of you today you are here, you remember, but let something happen small. You will forget all the good, even the word you are hearing, you will forget. But don't worry, even God, they forgot. Even God. So husbands, don't worry. You get it. Don't worry. Even God, they forgot. Even God, he knew that it wasn't going to, you see, this actually also shows that it's not natural for human beings to usually remember. It's not natural. That's why God had to institute it. That remember. And that's why it's good. If you look at Galatians 6, his bishop had to institute it so that we will remember that he is the head. It's a divine principle. So that if you are sent anywhere and they are making you bishop that and brother this, and some of you pastors, you are more than archbishops in your own corner. Hey! Papa, in the all sort of thing, you have a lot of children. A lot of children like that. And then you become this thing and then you can talk anyhow. You get some people, they never ever dreamed that they become pastors. Then they were made pastors. And they had a meet, they had an Easter convention. And then, as they were praying, some song came, and the people themselves who came with faith were very charged. And they tagged them one about that. Bah! Hey! I said, hey! That was the day. That was the day that the demon held one hand and one hand lifted and said, you have arrived. From today, you are KLM. Nobody should put these wings down again. Go and walk like this because you're on top. You are KLM now, you're on top. Hey. And they will talk, they say anything, whatever, because you don't remember. I mean, at least, remember that you were a Syrian. What Syrian? What Syrian? Ah, every day, Syrian, are you the one who died for me? Are you the one who died for me? Even Jesus who died for me, Christ, merciful. One thing, is there one thing you did for me every day, so should I worship you? Hey! Remember, we will remember. We will remember.
The works of your hand,
and we will stop and give you praise,
for great is thy faithfulness.
God established the tithe as a prayer of thanksgiving. As a prayer of thanksgiving. You see, this mystery of tithing, there is a purpose, and it says so many things. As a prayer of thanksgiving. A way of saying that thank you. Deuteronomy 26:7, going again. It says, and when we cried unto the Lord, you see, we're in bondage. And when we cried unto the Lord our Father, the Lord heard our voice and looked on our affliction and our labor and our oppression. And the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand. You see, he brought us out with a mighty hand. And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm and with great terribleness.
with signs and with wonders. Look, with signs and with wonders. And he had brought us into this place and had given us this land, even a land that flowed with milk and honey. And now, behold, I have brought the first fruit of the land, which thou, O Lord, hast given me. And thou shalt set it before the Lord thy God, and do what? And do what? Worship before the Lord thy God. So you see that if you bring your tithe, or God has established it, if you like to force you to worship him, in case, I mean, if you want me to use that word, to remind you that he deserves the worship and he deserves the praise. He deserves that thanks. He remind you that, look, you were once this and now this. So worship me. Remember. And it's for your own good. Because it will always keep you humble. It always keep you humble. Hallelujah. It will always keep you humble. Are you with me? God established the tithe to care for the needy and the helpless. Deuteronomy 26:13. Then thou shalt say before the Lord thy God, I have brought away the hallowed things out of my house, and also have given them unto a Levite, and unto the stranger, to the fatherless, and to the widow, according to all the commandment which thou hast commanded me. I have not transgressed thy commandments, neither have I forgotten them. So there is a way that tithe also helps the helpless. Hallelujah. In the book of Malachi, I said, there might be food, there might be meat in my house. You see, just that sometimes some people who say they need help don't need help. Hey! Help the helpless, not the lazy. Not the lazy. One day, somebody came to tell me that, please, I want you to pay my school fees for me. I've qualified to go to university. My uncle that I stay with doesn't want to pay my school fees for me, so I want you to pay for me. So I said, why? I said, where does he work? Some nice place that they pay very well. I said, so why wouldn't he pay your school fees for you? Then he said, I don't know, but he said he won't pay my school fees for me. So I sent somebody that you should go and find out from this brother's uncle. Why? I'm not why he's not going to pay the school, but go and chat with him. Talk about the fact he's your church member and see his mind. Would you believe it? The man was so excited that the guy has even had a school and was ready to pay. But the problem was that the guy was being stubborn at home. And the uncle was trying to correct him. Instead of taking the correction, he's moving away from the correction to come and tell us to take the meat and pay the school fees. Because God, the tithe is prepared and needy. Do you understand what I've said?
Yeah.
Because the tithe is for the needy. Yeah. Maybe instead of doing so, you'll be watching Chinese films, you'll probably washing the uncle's car. Then when you come and tell me. And let me tell you something. We can point to people that we have paid their schools at the university who have finished school. You'll be surprised. But you are not included. Because yours is laziness. Yours is laziness. Yours is to find a job. So I would prefer that if the person comes and says he wants money, he say, well, please, I'm not the pastor of the church. You can go and see the pastors of the church. And when they come, Bishop Mouse will address them. Amen. But the needy, they are there. The needy are there, but the lazy people too, they are there. Even some people, when they are coming to church, their mind is that these people are fools. I'll just go and pretend and do something, and then I'll collect their money. That's how even some people think. When they but you see, if you are a wise steward, and you know that the tithe, some of the members, do you know how they pay their tithe? Some of them carry things in the sun in the afternoon. You don't know the work they do. Go and see them working in the afternoon, and then they will come and give their tithe. Then you will come and I should give it to you to go and eat. Even God will not forgive me. God will not even forgive me. But if you need, then it's for the needy. Amen. But when I see someone who needs, I'll know the person needs. When I see somebody who doesn't need, one day somebody came to
one of our friends for help. When the person left, the friend said that the shoe the person was wearing, he was trying to buy some, I think, some few weeks ago. He couldn't buy. He was trying to buy some few weeks ago. He didn't buy. And so even he was trying to put money down so he can go and buy that shoe. Meanwhile, the person has come to him for help. He was wearing that shoe. New one. So the money the person wants is to buy a shirt to match with the shoe. Not that the person really needs anything. Not that the person really needs anything. It's to buy a shirt to wear on the shoe. Yeah. One brother, he's very, very good. He's a philanthropist in the church. And anytime I'll say this, and the person will come and we argue. He will argue with me when I preach like that. He will come and say, but don't you think that? Then I was quiet. One day, I was there when he came to tell me, hey, the things you have been saying is true. Then he told me what somebody has done to him. I said, you see, people, what we are talking to, you think that we, see, people are not people. You think that, oh, this case is different. So he established the tithe to help the needy, not the lazy. Do you get it? Not the lazy. So God did the tithe to help the needy. And sometimes the needy, as a church, we are helping the needy. If we have an orphanage, we have so many things in case you don't know. To some churches, some people don't even have a place to meet for church service. It's a way of helping the needy to build a church for them, to also have a church. Amen. Hallelujah. Last part two and we'll close. God established the tithe as money set apart from all secular and worldly purposes. Set aside from secular and worldly purposes. Deuteronomy chapter 26, 14. I have not eaten thereof in my mourning, neither have I taken away aught thereof for any unclean use, neither given aught therefore for the dead, but I've hearkened to the voice of the Lord my God, and I've done according to all that thou hast commanded me. He said that neither have I taken away aught thereof or for any unclean use. You see, you don't even have to say, oh, I'm going to use my tithe for this, then later I'll pay. No. It is set aside for God. God established the tithe also to have a legal. Wonderful. God established the tithe to have what? A legal basis to bless his people. A legal basis. God decided to do what? To have a legal basis to bless his people. Hallelujah. There should always be a legal basis for doing things. And God established that one. Deuteronomy 26, 15. So this is as God gave it to Moses. We are just looking at it. Look down from thy holy habitation from heaven and bless thy people Israel and the land which thou hast given us, as thou swearest unto our fathers, a land that floweth with milk and honey. So after they had done that, then he said, look down now. Look down now. He said, you have something to stand on. He said, Lord, I put it to you that Article 48, subsection 2, is what I have fulfilled. Spiritual legalities. Look down now and do what you have to do. Amen. Hallelujah. So, when you pay your tithe, you have a legal basis to be blessed. You have a legal basis to be blessed. You have to expect. You have to expect that the law will be respected by God. And God, he will not respect his word. The law will be respected. After the one you are broken, ask God for mercy. It's part of the law. There's a law of mercy. But the one you have done for him, dear, he should respect it and do it. Amen. So when you break it, then ask for the law of mercy. And then when you do it, ask for the law of he respecting his law. All are within the constitution. You have not broken any law. I hear you, you go home. You have not broken. You know something, you can do something which is morally not right, but legally you have not broken any law. Is that not so? Then last but one.
God established the tithe as a test of your obedience. As a what?
Trust and obey, for there's no other way
to be happy in Jesus than to trust.
A test of your obedience. Deuteronomy 26:16. A test of your obedience. This day, the Lord thy God had commanded thee to do this statute and judgment. Thou shalt therefore keep and do them with all thine heart and with all thy soul. Thou hast avowed the Lord this day to be thy God, and to walk in his ways, and to keep his statutes, and his commandments, and his judgments, and to hearken unto his voice. So you said that I'm going to serve the Lord, I'm going to pay my tithe. Now it's a test of your obedience. Because sometimes, to obey, you have to go through some sacrifice. If you don't have to go through anything and you do it, what test have you passed? There's no test that I've passed. So it's a test of your obedience to pay your tithe. And then finally, for today, God established a tithe in order. Listen, if you forget anything, don't forget this one. God established a tithe in order to create a peculiar and unusual group of prosperous and blessed people on the earth. What did I say? You get it? God established a tithe in order to create a peculiar and unusual group of prosperous and blessed people on the earth. A peculiar and what? A peculiar and what? Peculiar and what? A peculiar and unusual group of prosperous and blessed people. So a peculiar and what? Group of prosperous and blessed people on the earth. You are going to join this peculiar and unusual group of prosperous people in the name of Jesus. In fact, you have joined them as you have paid your tithe. You are part of this peculiar and prosperous group of blessed people. You are part of them. Your blessings shall be peculiar. Your blessing shall be unusual. You know, when you read the thing about tithe, the Bible says, and I will pour you out a blessing. You see, it didn't say, I'll pour you out that blessing. No. He said, I'll pour you out a blessing. A blessing. A blessing. So when you pay your tithe, you are just joining yourself to this wonderful, prosperous, peculiar, and blessed people. And who are they? If you take this world, who are these people? You take the Israelites to whom the tithe was given to initially. And let me tell you something, in case you are thinking, oh, these are Old Testament things. It is the same way that Bible said that through Abraham, we are also now become part of Israel, the nation of Israel, spiritual, the spiritual Israel. Do you get it? So even though it was given to the Israelites, and we can see physically that as long, and they do it, or they still do it. They do it seriously. And can you, who can tell me a nation or a people who has suffered like this of all the suffering they've gone through in this world, and yet that rich and powerful? Look for the first 5% of richest people in the world and count how many of them are Jews. And you'll be shocked. You'll be shocked. Look, go to Israel and see the land is a desert land. It's not a land that should grow food and everything. And yet, they can grow food and even people can go there and go and learn agriculture. Because God has mysteriously prospered and blessed their land. They have engaged in a mysterious thing and God has blessed their land. Israel is surrounded by his enemies. That's why I tell you that tithe is like a warfare. You see what is happening to Israel. They are surrounded by their enemies.
And yet, they become stronger and stronger. If you pay your tithe, you also be surrounded by witches and wizards and whatever. And yet, you even become stronger and stronger and stronger. No nation can ignore Israel. Never. Never. Meanwhile, we talk of slave trade. Do you know we talk of slave trade? Do you know what happened during the slave trade? Do you know what happened? We were slave traded. We caught our own brothers and sisters and we sold them to the white man, and they went to farms to farm in their sugar canes, sugar cane farms and everything. We caught them and sold them to them. Up to today, we are blaming the white man for depleting our resources, for buying the people who sold to them. He said they took the strong people. These strong people are actually go and tell them to come back, whether they will come. Go and tell them to come, whether they will come. And yet, as for the Israelites, they were killing them like something. Killing them. It's like that people don't deserve to be on the surface of the earth. And they were scattered all over. They have managed to come back and have built a great nation because of this mysterious thing that they have been involved in. It's not by their strength, too. It's not by their strength, I'm telling you. It's not by their strength. There are a few people. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. Get involved in this mysterious purpose of God. Get involved. Get involved. Get involved. And don't be weary. For in due season, God will make you great. In due season, you see the blessings of being part of what the Lord Himself has established that they do. Amen. Amen. Somebody has said that even in the New Testament, we shouldn't talk about 10%. We should even talk about 25%. But it's okay. At least your 10%. Come and give it to God. And then God will bless you. Do you get it? Come and give God. So if you're in church, you are not paying your tithe and everything, you are doing yourself. You can ask yourself that since you joined the church, when has anybody come to tell you cannot sit here because you don't pay your tithe? Has it ever happened before? When has anybody said that you cannot enter the church because you haven't paid your tithe? Nobody has said that before. Or whenever did you hear that the prayer warriors told you that you cannot pray because you haven't paid your tithe? Have you told anybody that? You haven't said anybody that before. Nobody even. We say it, we ask you to do, and those who do, they are doing. And you haven't done it, but we are still, by the grace of God, flowing. So I want to encourage all of you from today that you are going to be part of this mysterious purpose of God. Anytime you come and stand and you pay your tithe, you are contributing to one of these mysterious purposes of God. And adding yourself to this group of prosperous, unusually blessed, privileged, unique people here on earth in the name of Jesus. How many of you are not going to give up? How many of you gave up and you are going to re-energize? All of you, let's re-energize and tell yourself that it's a test of your obedience that I would pay my tithe. Whatever it is, I'll pay my tithe. Don't ask yourself so many questions. You will not be able to do it. Let's put our hands together for Jesus. Hey, that's how we sing that song. What?
He deserved the best. You deserve the best.
You deserve the best. You deserve the best. You deserve the best.
Some of you, if you had continued to pay your tithe that you started 5 years ago, by now your breakthrough would have come, but you stopped at a point. Now you are going to have to restart. Mercy. You are going to have to restart. Do you know that a nation like Switzerland, A nation like Switzerland, you don't know, you cannot explain some people's blessings. A nation like Switzerland, do you know that when you go and work, they will ask you that you have to pay, I don't know whether they call it tithe or tax to a church. So you have to now take a church of your choice. Maybe you are the Catholic faith, you are Pentecostal, then they will take the tithe and they will give it to the church. That's how they found church. So you may not know that they are going to be, even unbelievers, so they still do it up to today. In Switzerland, I don't know about other countries, but they do it up to today. That they will ask you, what church, they will take some money and say, what church do you want us to donate this money to? Then you do. So you don't know. That's why people are blessed. When you go to Switzerland, they don't have anything. And yet they are rich. They are rich. May you become one of these rich people. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. But you see, you only do it if you remember that you were a Syrian ready to perish. But you have forgotten your Syrian days. How do you say your assistant? And finally say, you see, when you begin to live well and things, you easily forget. And God knew it. God was a fanti. So he knew it. He's a fanti. So he said, let me do this. Amen.